Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sequester podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Brent. How are you doing, Brent?
Doing well, Taryn. I enjoyed another episode of Sequester. It's been a while, 2 weeks, actually. Enjoyed the holidays. Happy holidays, by the way, and a happy new year to everybody tomorrow. I will say that this evening, I have some favorites, as I always have, some people who I'm coming for, and somebody who I really didn't like this episode. So if you're a member of that person's family, you should probably get out of the chat right now.
Okay. Yeah, well, this is probably my last podcast of the year.
Yeah, unless you're doing something tomorrow.
I don't think I am.
I thought you might do an updated Circle podcast tomorrow since they released the entire episode, so...
Well, it wasn't the entire episode.
I know, that's what I mean.
The tease. But, it's Wednesday that the
okay. Dropped. Sorry. I thought I was apparently I got bad information. So the tease episode of The Circle is what you previewed, and that's what people are talking about, but that's not the actual episode.
Yeah. It's like half the episode.
Yeah, like Mike Bloom let us know on in the Patreon group that was not the entire episode. So I haven't even watched it yet, so I'm glad I have it. So
yeah. And we recorded earlier today a Star Wars podcast. So
yes, we did. That was great fun. Yeah, the Star Wars podcast is already taped, Liv. It just was uploaded onto Post Show Recaps, so you should be able to find it there soon.
All right. Well, we are here to talk about Sequester, episode 7 of season 3, where we last left you. That was the double elimination, correct?
Yes, the double elimination where Ty and Kristen were actually both voted out. I was thinking that maybe one of them won a battle match, but no, neither. Both of those people were voted out, and both those people lost their battle match. So they were both actually voted out of the game.
Yes. So we're going to start this round, and it seems like there's a lot of talk about how it was Jayla's idea to go after Ty, but Jayla didn't actually do that. And there were a lot of like mixed votes, and Kristen ended up, getting voted out along with Ty.
Right.
And so now it's a new game. And the twist of the round is possession. Something possession.
Yes, possession. But before that, obviously, we had two winners of the battle matches in Hunter and Erica. It's fine. I'll pick it up. You do it for me all the time when I screw or I skip over something else. So Hunter and Erica both won their battle match. They celebrate together. They're high on adrenaline. Erica reveals to Hunter that she has an LOS. Spoiler alert, she's not going to have it for long. And then they walk back into the house. And of course, like everyone is, and they're like meh about Hunter. But they are very annoyed that Erica's back. And of course, we get the requisite confessional from Cameron, who I don't know why she hates Erica so much, but she does. And so she's going to let her have it here and be like, yeah, 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 which is the beginning of my disgust for Erica in this Cameron in this episode.
Yeah, Hunter, this is going to be basically the start of Hunter's high, I guess, in the episode.
That's as high as he gets. Yeah. Yeah.
He's just like on drugs the whole episode, just losing his mind.
That's what the name of this episode was called. I actually thought it was like you know how sometimes they do a blurb for an episode and they'll call it something, but it's not actually the title of the episode. This was actually called Hurricane Hunter, and now we see why.
Hurricane Hunter and what's a storm word for sea?
A storm word for C?
Yeah, for Cameron.
For Cameron? I don't know. A storm word for Cameron.
It took me too long. I lost
it. Yeah, it was like typhoon or but those that's T and hurricane tornado.
Catastrophic Cameron. I don't know. They were both just cyclone. That's it. Kind of works.
Cyclone.
It's
thank
an S
you.
Sound.
That'll work. Yeah.
But they're both just like just at they're at 11 all episode. They've gone all the way up to 11.
I would say that I thought that Cameron might have, you know, taken a step back, you know, just she was immune during the last episode, didn't even have to fight for her life at all, didn't even have to worry about being picked for a battle match, and all of a sudden here she's slamming doors in people's faces left and right. So let's go.
And so this round is called Possession, and I do want to, it reminded me, there was a quick like splash of like a possession warning, like what you're about to see is disturbing, which I thought was funny. And
very
it reminded
funny,
me
funny.
That I forgot to mention how funny the Judge Judy sound effect was for the debate rounds in the previous episodes. I just wanted to
and the Law and Order. I texted Audrey and I said, I'm so mad that I never got to give credit to you because she put the Law and Order sound effects, the dun 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 dun, you know, like music in the previous episode.
Oh, was it Law and Order? Did I mistake Law and Order for Judge Judy?
How could you, Taryn? I don't know. Yeah,
what's the Judge Judy sound effects?
I don't know. I don't watch Judge Judy. It was definitely Law and Order.
I would have preferred Judge Judy, to be honest.
Well, it was Law and Order in the previous episode when they were going through the case files and everything. There may have been Judge Judy mixed in there, but I know Law and Order was the dun 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 dun, like, which is the theme music for Law and Order. And Audrey's great about putting in these little pop culture references along the way. So kudos to her for the editing, and I loved it very much. I also loved this very much when they announced the possession twist for this episode and gave us a little warning on the screen. And then it was explained to us what's actually happening in this episode. First of all, there's 9 people left. Everybody gets a vote just like normal. No one's immune. However, you literally possess someone else by drawing their name on a card. There's 9 different cards, and you can draw somebody else's name or you can draw yourself. If you draw somebody else, I mean, and you're thinking to yourself, well, how does that matter? And when this twist was first announced, I was like, why does that matter? Because there's still 9 votes. You can still create a majority. Whether I'm voting for you, Taryn, or Rob, or whoever, that's still a vote. But the trick comes into play in the battle match selections, because remember, we're in the jury phase now. And for the battle match, that the people who are quote unquote voted out still get a chance to save themselves by challenging somebody who voted against them. So by possessing somebody else and taking over their vote, you can force somebody else to stand up who otherwise may not have voted against the person who was voted out. And that's key for this episode.
Yes, this is definitely an interesting concept for a round, and I was kind of excited to see it play out. I think that just based on how the numbers shook out in this particular round, it didn't live up to its full potential. It was mostly just kind of like a random draw of like, were you unlucky enough to have to vote for this person? But I do like the idea of it, because it really can encourage you to actually go for a target that you might not otherwise go for, because you don't have to worry about them picking you if they are voted out.
Right.
So there's definitely a lot of interesting leeway that you have in this particular game. But as we see very quickly as they start the round, it becomes a round of majority rules, and it's a slight majority. It's 5 against 4, or so it seems. And
yes, but it's 5 who know they're together and 4 who don't know they're together. That's
I guess so.
Key.
Yeah. And so immediately, Cameron, who is annoyed about Erica being there, is going to.
She's just annoyed about everything. Well, what's her problem?
She's going to take charge and lead her group into a room. And her group is herself, Tori, Dustin, who's an important piece there, Zach, and Thomas. And so she's trying to get them all into a room, but Tori ends up getting split from the group, and she gets into a different room with Jayla and Erica and them. And then Hunter tries to follow the Cameron group minus Tori into their room, and Cameron's like, nah, not you.
Yeah.
And this is going to just set him off for the next 15 minutes, which is apparently how long they had to strategize.
Which I loved, and I commented to Audrey when I texted her. This came across the screen, that the bottom of the screen said 15 minutes to strategize. I was like, thank you, because I don't think we really, you know, we're used to watching Survivor and Big Brother where people have like weeks to strategize about stuff, or days at least. And it was really harrowing to watch the bottom of the screen and realize they have 15 minutes to get their shit together here. So I understand where the majority was coming from in like, let's get everybody in a room and let's get this shit done. However, I have a couple problems with it. The execution of it is the problem. I saw Cameron tweet earlier today that she doesn't understand why people are mad at her in a game about eliminations when she's just trying to eliminate people. Well, bitch, if that was the extent of it, I wouldn't have a problem with you. It's the way you're doing it. You were really awful to the people around you, to the point where I think you're actually radioactive at this point and cannot win a jury vote. I look forward to having egg on my face if you are actually able to win the game, but I don't think you can at this point. The other thing is that you have a 5-4 majority at best right now. And if you're able to successfully get someone voted out, if someone else on your team is challenged to a battle match and loses, spoiler alert, that's what's going to happen. Your majority is finito. So what the hell are you doing shoving doors in people's faces? You could have easily invited Hunter into a room and said, okay, Hunter, who do you want to get out? I'm like, why, you know, are you feeling like Erica? Maybe what about Jayla? I'm sure he would have jumped on Jayla. He doesn't have any loyalties to Jayla. You could have included him in the plan and anybody else in the plan, and it would have been fine. And he would, and Hunter would have no idea that he's on the outside. But as things stand, he knows he's on the outside. He knows that's the entire reason for this episode being called Hurricane Hunters, because he knows he's on the outside. Everybody else knows they're on the outside. I just don't think that some of those people, like Jayla, for what she does at the end, necessarily understands what's really going on and how desperate her situation is right now. But they know that they are on the rocks, that they are being shut out of conversations. And what I'm saying to Cameron is, you don't know if you're going to need these people in the next round. I actually thought Tori was great here, where she was actually trying to talk with people. She didn't need to talk to the people that she knows she has. She's going to talk to the people that she knows she doesn't have, that she wants to keep. She wanted to keep Jayla in the game, and I thought it was behooved her on her point part to think ahead and try to think, well, what's it going to look like when we get down to five? I really don't want to be there with three guys and two girls if it's me and Cameron, because they're obviously going to want to get us out. Obviously, she's not going to get her way here, but it's not for a lack of trying.
Yeah, I think that there's like a part of this that I can understand. I think that they I don't necessarily buy what Hunter was selling, that was like, I thought I was working with all of you and I was loyal to all of you until you decided to tell me I wasn't allowed. I don't think he was really working with them. I think that he's been somebody who's been floating around and trying to use people, and I think that people sort of saw that, and so Cameron was like, no, just don't, I'm not even going to pretend with you, which is a mistake, but I don't think it's like what he was trying to sell. And I disagree with the Tory thing as well. But there's a lot to get through here. So Cameron, you know, says no to Hunter, and that's going to set him off. He's going to spend the next probably like 10 of the 15 minutes, it seems. Oh, I'm not allowed, I guess so. And he says to us in the confessional, I am not here to be Kim Matina. He says, that is not me. Then he proceeds to do the thing that Kim Matina did in her season, which is when she got left out of a room and told she wasn't allowed to come in, she was very upset about it and yelled at people.
Yeah.
He literally did the thing that he said he was like, oh, I'm not going to be her, and this is how I'm going to do it, by being her.
Yeah, I know, right?
What?
Makes no sense. First of all, I know some people in the chat were like, I can't wait for Britt to come for Hunter. I'm not going to come for Hunter. I thought his behavior was pretty awful, and that I didn't understand why he was acting the way he was to the extent that he was, but I understood where he was coming from. Again, he's going on total adrenaline at this point, just won a battle match, almost lost it to Kristen, because he it was hard to see with the editing of the battle match, but he like fell over and had to start back over again and basically caught up to her. He literally could have lost that battle match to her, but he won it. Is high, is so psyched about his place in the game, has thus far been, I agree with you that he had no real say, he had no relationship with these people, but he thought he did. And when he comes back into the house and gets a rude awakening, I empathize with him in terms of how I empathize with him in the situation that he was forced to respond to. I don't agree with how he ultimately handled it.
Yes. So that's what he's up to. And Cameron is the other side of the freaking out coin, as she is like, Tori, where are you? Tori, if I see glitter on you, I swear, you're doing something. I don't trust you. Why are you with other people? Who are you talking to? Were you talking to Jayla?
I guess we don't have anything anymore. I think that any relationship we had is gone. Apparently I'm closer to Jayla at this point than I am Tori. What the hell?
Well, I think that's Tori said she's closer to Shayla than she was.
Well, I realized
that. Cameron's just like, oh man, do you love me more, or do you love Jayla more? That's all I'm asking. I mean, it's a simple question.
Yeah, I know.
I know you're saying me, but how are you saying that we should consider what Jayla's saying? What are you doing? Why are you betraying me like this, Tori?
Two interesting sides of the coin. We'll say that. I don't understand. I'll say this. I do not understand Cameron's hard-on for Jayla here. I don't understand what Jayla ever did to her. I typed in the comments of the sequester episode, Jayla breathes, and Cameron is like, she's out to get me. I have to get her out. Which is the same thing she did with Erica. And well, it's a disturbing pattern to me, to the point where I'm like, what the fuck do these bitches ever do to you? Because why are you coming for them? Why not go after Hunter? Why not go after these other people? What about Jessica? Why is it these two women?
Here's the thing, though.
It's not a good look that
confuses me a little bit, because I do feel like it is portrayed that way. However, there are two instances in this very episode where I'm like, oh. One is when Jessica comes back to talk to Jayla, and she says that Cameron was saying that Jayla's after her. Jayla was like, how did she know? So it's like, oh, maybe she's right.
I took that as sarcastic. I was like, how does she know? Like, you're after everybody, I guess, in Sequester. Maybe Jayla can clarify that, but I thought that she was being sarcastic in that, because for my money, and I've only watched the episode once, it seems like that she was saying that she didn't really have any thoughts on Cameron and trying to get her out, but maybe I read that wrong.
Yeah, well, but then also there's a confessional with Erica where she's like, Hunter and I have switched roles. People were calling me out for a bunch of things, and they were all true. I was doing those things. I was like, right? Oh, wait a minute. That's not how I thought it happened.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But still, like, I feel like the truth is somewhere in the middle. Like, even though Erica is like that, Erica is copping to the things that people accused her of. But like, from what I'm looking at, it doesn't look to me like that she's guilty of necessarily everything that they've ever accused her of. I feel like Erica in some ways is kind of like the person who likes to fall on their sword. She just likes to do that to make other people feel better. She did it in the battle match previously when what's his face, Drew was looking for a battle match participant, and she was like, I'll do it. I'll take one for the team here. Like, so I get that from her, but I still don't buy that she's actually guilty of all those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Cameron, Zach, Dustin and Thomas
are
in the room that can be easily eavesdropped on, apparently.
I was in that room. Yeah,
they're going to discuss the plan, and I think they pretty quickly get to Jayla. Even in that conversation, they're talking about we think maybe Jayla is the choice. I think that they're kind of upset about what happened in the previous round, that I'm still not entirely clear on what exactly happened, but that, again, that Jayla had seemingly, you know, set up one particular vote and then changed her vote. Do you have the vote count for the previous round?
For the previous round?
Yeah.
Well, let me go through all my porn here and...
He's probably not lying either.
I'm not lying. Something you might think, my friend sent me shit and I screen cap. What do you want from me? But yes, I do have the vote count for the previous episode, if I can find it here anytime. Ah, God, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Okay, so what do you want to know?
I want to know who Jayla voted for.
Jayla voted for Zach, as so did Ty in the previous round. So those two people voted for Zach. Hunter, Dustin, and Cameron all voted for Kristen, and that's how she was ultimately booted out, was because Hunter switched his vote. He was originally going to vote for either Zach or Dustin, and he voted for Kristen, and that's how he was pulled for the battle match, and that's how she got voted out, because there were two votes for Zach, two votes for Dustin from Thomas and Tori, and three votes for Kristen. So if Hunter votes the other way for either Zach or Dustin, then that person gets voted off instead of Kristen, and she survives that round. So it was especially frustrating to watch that happen. But yeah, that's who Jayla voted up, was Ty.
Okay, so I think that's...
With Ty.
Right. Yeah. So Dustin feels, and I think maybe a couple of other people in this group feel, that Jayla was really, you know, saying, hey, Ty is the vote. I'm voting Ty. And then she switched her vote at the last second to avoid being available for the battle match.
Yes.
And so that's, I think, why she ends up as the target here.
Which everybody did in that round. Like, so many people. Did. Hunter certainly did. Dustin did by voting for Kristen. I don't know how that happened. Cameron was immune for the round and she still voted for Kristen. I think that she ultimately wanted Kristen out of the game there.
Right. So she explains her vote in this episode. She says that the reason she went for Kristen is that she felt like Kristen was somebody that was working that Jayla had Kristen. So I think that means that there was also still some animosity from even before this vote. I know that Tori was skeptical of Jayla at one point. I think that probably I wonder if maybe Tori talked about Jayla, that kind of got into Cameron's head. And then, as you know, Cameron's doing her own thing, Tori kind of makes up with Jayla. And now Cameron's like, no, I thought we hated Jayla. What's going on?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, you know, if you just talk to someone, maybe you can actually like learn to like them. It seems to me like Tori and Cameron judged Jayla on her face. Like they didn't really have any real substantive conversations with her. And then like once Tori did and like actually had a real conversation with Jayla, which I understand it's a sequester, things move fast. Maybe you don't have time to sit down and have a 10 or 15 minute conversation with somebody, but Tori took the time to do it. And she realizes, you know what? She's actually on my side here. I don't need to worry about Jayla. Like, she's not plotting and scheming like I thought she was. Like, I thought she wanted me out. She doesn't. So therefore, I want to work with her. But of course, Cameron is not having that. Cameron is like, Jayla must go.
Yeah. And so here's the thing that, like, I think that there's a part of what Cameron is doing here that makes sense. She wants to make sure that she's only got 15 minutes. She needs to make sure that her group gets together, decides what they're going to do, and then does the thing, because they have the majority. They just can't screw around. They can't, you know, get caught up in trying to please too many other people and not ever get together. I think that makes some sense. The problem is, I don't think she needed to be so forceful about it. She didn't need to hold Hunter out of the door. They could have been a lot more subtle. And one of the main reasons why is what you talked about a little bit earlier, which is that the other side, the other four, is not a group and they are not getting together. I mean, Erica and Jayla seemingly are like spending the entire 15 minutes of this round, like just hanging out in bed.
I will say this, that if the internet had its way, it would be Jayla, Erica and Jessica to the final three. I know if I had it my way, that's exactly what I would like. Like, we want these three queens to work together and just float on to the end. But I don't really think that they understand the ramifications of what's happening in this episode. And if Cameron had handled things just a little bit better and allowed like Erica or Hunter into the room, and you don't even have to talk with them for the whole 15 minutes, just talk with them for like 1 minute and say, you know, what are you okay with this? I'm sure Eric would have been like, okay, see ya. Like, I don't need Jayla. I don't need Jessica. I don't need Hunter. I'm sure she would have had her preferences on who to vote out, but I think you could have easily gotten her vote or Hunter's vote or even Jessica's vote for that matter. I just don't understand the reasoning here on acting the way they did. It was such a childish manner. And also, Sequester is a game where there's a twist every round. And I don't understand Cameron's thinking in that she only has a bare 5-4 majority. Even if you're successful and this goes through and what you want to happen happens in that Jayla's voted out and she loses the battle match, you go into the next round 5-3. What about the twist? There's always some twist that comes into play that can screw with the voting. You don't know what's going to happen. It's good to have as many people on your side as possible. And also, how the hell are you going to win at the end if you just like openly piss people off to the point where you don't even give them a voice in saying anything? I feel like that's where Hunter's frustration was coming from the most, where he just wanted to be heard and felt like he was kind of like, I'm okay if you blindside me, but just don't let me know it's coming. They wouldn't really like play ball with him. And I got his pain here.
It felt a little bit to me like how Tori, when Tori was like, yeah, if they'd done that to me, I'd be crying. It felt a little bit to me like Tori would have cried. And instead of crying, Hunter yells, right? Like,
yeah.
If he wasn't yelling, he would have been crying. Like, he just felt hurt in that
moment. He may have cried at some point, but yeah, I understood where he's coming from. I don't know what, I'm trying to think if the shoe were on the other foot here. Because I tweeted this, and I'll own my shit. This is how I responded to the episode. I was like, Cameron's the girl we all hate in high school. She's just kind of a bitch. And I don't know, like, if she actually had to take the time, and if she was on the other foot, meaning that she was, like, had a door slammed in her face, and she had no voice in what's really happening. I'd like to see how she reacts to that, but we're not going to see that right now because she's getting her way.
I mean, I think that's a little much. I think that they're, you know,
you don't have to own my shit. I'll own my shit, but that's how I like. I'm being real with you. I could not stand Cameron. She makes a great TV, reality TV villain. So good for her on that. But that's what you are, and that's what I'm responding to. So I really can't stand you on my television right now, and I really can't wait to see you get voted out. So,
I just think there's often like a fine line between like being competitive and being sassy and being liked because mm-hmm. of how mean you're being, and and being the villain and disliked for it. So I don't think it necessarily says anything about who you are as a person.
Oh, I totally concur. I'm just saying within the context of this show and this episode specifically, I'm not responding well to it. I will say, like, if Cameron was on the outside and there were people who were slamming doors in her face and she was acting like she often does, I'd probably be like, yes, queen, yes, go with it. But she's not, like, you have to kind of know your role, and she doesn't understand that if she's in control of everything, we're not going to respond positively to her acting the way she is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what's going to, and I will also say, I think that maybe this is due to the fact that there are fewer players now, and that the round is a little more simple. There's only 15 minutes, but I really enjoyed the story here of this round. I felt like I understood what was happening. I felt like I was getting so first they ran off into this group and it set off Hunter and he's doing his thing. They discussed it. Tori got back together with them. They discussed it again. Then Tori goes and talks to Hunter and tries to talk him down. There's also stuff happening with Jessica. I feel like I understood the timeline of how this worked and how the vote came together. And I really liked it.
Yeah, this is my pitch to Sequester is for season 4 and moving onward. I think it would actually be a good idea if they only had 16 people rather than 20. Like, if they started with 16 people, and I know there may be reasons why they have to do 20, but if you had just eight guys, eight girls, and went with it and had a show, and like the first 5 people are out, you're pre-jury, the 11 people who are at the end, 9 of you are on the jury, 2 of you are in the final 2. I feel like that would be great because, like, it's so, like, in the beginning, it was so hard to follow, like, what was happening and why this was happening. And the story, I know you're with me on that. We both had problems with the narrative early on because it was so hard to see what's really going on. But I do feel like if you started with, like, 4 less people and it started with 16 people, and then, like, by episode 1, you're already down to 15 people, it would be easier for me as the audience to discern the different groups and the whys and the whats of what's happening. But, you know, the point is we're at 9 people right now, and it's really great to see. I said this last week about the previous episode, that it was the best episode of the season. I won't necessarily say that about this episode because, to me, Jayla getting voted out was never in doubt. So that part was a little bit dull. But overall, like the narratives between the characters, the context between some of their conversations, overall, I loved everything about this episode. Audrey, you don't get enough credit for the editing that you do, and I know that you work really, really hard on it. So I just want you to know, I see it. Well done.
I mean, I will even say that I think I'm on the opposite end in terms of the Jayla vote, because I actually liked that I could see it coming, because I felt like I knew why it was happening. And I don't mind that the vote is predictable, because Sequester has a format where the vote is not the end of the episode.
It's not.
It means understood nothing. That Jayla is the vote pretty early on. But then the question becomes, who's she going to choose for the battle match? And then who's going to lose the battle match? So there's still a lot of uncertainty, even when you have a good feeling about what the vote is going to be. And so I feel like understanding how they come to that vote and seeing it happen is, for me, more important. And that's why I really enjoyed this particular episode.
I did too. I'm with you in terms of the fact that even though I could see it coming, it didn't dull it for me along the way. I mean, yeah, I knew she's probably getting voted off, and I wasn't surprised. But honestly, at the end, when they announced the results, when Sequester Fembot comes in and they announce the results, I was like, if they don't say Jayla here, I'm gonna be pretty pissed, because I like, otherwise I don't know what the fuck happened. So thank you for that.
Yes. So that's the Cameron and Tori group. They've settled on Jayla, but Tori doesn't feel great about this because she wanted to have Jayla in the group of 5 instead of Dustin. And she's going to get into a bit of a kerfuffle with Cameron about it, because Tori feels that they need to get to the final 5 with 3 women and 2 guys so that the guys don't gang up on the women. And Cameron Cameron says, no, Jayla's too smart. I don't care about the gender. I would rather have somebody like Dustin, because we have Thomas and Zach is just a whatever.
Fine. I understood keeping Thomas and keeping Zach and wanting to make sure they're part of your alliance, but I do not understand Cameron bringing in Dustin. He said openly in front of everybody during the last round, just like Tori alludes to here. It's almost like what Johnny Fairplay said in the Pearl Islands, like, promises are like wicker furniture and fat women. They're easily broken. So I would not trust him as far as I can throw him. I just don't understand why you go for somebody like Dustin, who says that openly, over somebody like Jayla, who, to my mind, has been nothing but kind to Cameron here. But whatever.
Well, I mean, I don't think we can say that for sure, but I think the problem I had with Tori's line of logic here is that she had just talked with Jayla, and Jayla was like, no, I want Hunter out. And that's obviously not going to work. Even in this round, as a voting block, they need five. And so if Jayla wants to go after Thomas, then it won't work. And she already had a conversation. She wasn't able to convince Jayla to not go after Thomas. I don't know if she tried, but she certainly should have if she wanted to keep Jayla around.
I think that would have been, just to stop you right there, because it's pertinent to that conversation. I do feel like if Tori would have tried a little bit harder to move Jayla's thought over to somebody else and be like, okay, we can get Thomas in the next round, but let's go for Hunter now, or let's go for somebody else now. Like, I feel like she could have gotten Jayla on her side if she wanted to and been able to go to Cameron with that, but she didn't even have a guarantee of a vote from Jayla when she went to Cameron, and that's right. What caused it ultimately to fail,
because the argument just doesn't make sense when she says like, oh, but at final five we need three women. That's such a far away and abstract idea in comparison to, we need five votes this round and we have like another 7 minutes to make it happen. At that point you kind of grab the group you got, and you don't worry too much about, you know, well, there's three guys versus three women. Like, I don't think that will necessarily matter. And I don't think that in Sequester you should be trying to plan ahead too far, because the chances of them making it to the final five anyway are pretty slim. So if anything, having three guys ahead of you is maybe a better thing, because they might be bigger targets. Who knows? Maybe it's worse because they don't want to choose those guys over you for battle matches. But in the end, you kind of just have to do what works for you in this round. And Tori just didn't have a case to make there. She didn't even go back to Jayla. She didn't do anything to try to make that work. She spends a lot of time instead talking to Hunter in what seems to be a very non-productive conversation, where they both end up still like hating each other, which seems to happen a lot with Tori.
So I know, right?
I don't know why she's wasting all of her energy here when there's other things to do.
I will say this about Tori. She's famously said at the beginning of the season that she's going to be authentic with people, and she thinks that's what people like, but I don't think that people like her brand of authenticity for the most part.
He walks away and she's like, ugh, which is not how she was treating him in the moment. That doesn't seem very authentic to me.
No, she's two-faced, but it's Sequester. What are you going to do? Yeah. I don't understand some of the context here and why we're voting for Jayla. If anything, I would want to keep a woman like Jayla in the game, because to me, I would like to keep people in the game who are perceived as physically weak, because when people are voted off, they're more likely to choose those people to battle than you. So why in the world would you want to get rid of somebody like Jayla? I just don't understand.
I agree. I think that in general, that Jayla does have some advantages if you are Cameron and Tori. However, I do think that there is a rift between Jayla and Cameron. Maybe it can be healed, but not in the time they have. And then also, I do think that Jayla is ultimately more dangerous than Dustin, because I think that Jayla has more sway with people outside of that group. I think that Jayla, if she needed to, could work with Erica or Jessica or even Hunter, whereas Dustin is Dustin, right? Like, he doesn't have a lot of other options. So I think that in that sense, Jayla is more dangerous. And we saw what she was capable of in the previous round, which went to why she was a target in this round. So I think that there are arguments to both sides. And ultimately, again, when it comes to this round and she's targeting one of your people, you kind of just have to do what you have to do. So that's, and that's, that does end up happening. They do decide again on Jayla. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. The other drama that occurs in the episode is the Jessica thing, where Jessica is in control of Hunter's vote. And so she, I think, smartly is just saying, look, I've got Hunter's vote. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm sorry about that. But that's just what I've got going on.
I enjoyed Jessica in this episode. I felt like she realized that she wasn't in control of what was happening here and was doing her best to just stay below the radar of anything that possibly could happen. But she's going to need to go to work here pretty soon in the next episode. And I do know that the next episode at Final Eight, they told me that they were going to repeat it from last year. Date night is the theme and the twist for the next episode. So hopefully that's going to be an opportunity for her to get to work and have some really pertinent conversations with people, because it's an interesting, we're going to get to the result of the vote and the outcome here, but it's a very interesting battlefield insofar as the two sides, if you really want to see them as sides together, because it's very even.
Yes, I mean, I think I'm continuing to be impressed by Jess. I think that Thomas and Jayla were two of my top people in terms of how well they were doing, and that came crashing down in this episode. So that kind of just leaves Jess as, I think, having played the best game up until this point. Still has not touched a battle match in my memory.
Correct.
And I think that she is not in the majority, which is not great, but she's doing a good job of making sure that the majority is targeting people that are not her. Hunter told me to vote for you, Thomas. I don't know what to do. Or Hunter told me to vote for Thomas. I don't know what to do. And so, like, I think Hunter and Erica are still bigger threats. I think Jayla is still a bigger threat. And at the same time, Hunter and Erica and Jayla either consider Jess an ally or somebody that they can use, or just not threatening enough to bother with because there's too many other people on this side. Yeah. I feel like Jess is in a pretty good spot here.
I feel like she's in a pretty good spot. Maybe not quite as good as literally verbally, but like, I'm like, my gut is telling me that she's in a good spot because she's going to, like, we know what's going to happen at the end of the episode and who's going to come back into the game. Like, Jess, to her point, has not been like against Cameron. She hasn't been against these people. She was seen as a malleable possible ally. So if you need a number here and you need somebody to pick up, I feel like Jessica is probably the most viable of the people who are on the quote unquote other side of the majority alliance here, which is not going to be a majority anymore.
She's also like the only normal person left.
The only normal person left? What do you mean? In what respect? Like
just calm and rational. Like,
yeah, but they've also not really come for her. Like, I mean, well, okay, I take that back. But she was put up for elimination during the Kingdom episode, and she calmly went about her work there to make sure she was not targeted, gave us some sassy confessionals about why she wasn't going to go along with Cameron and Tori's plan here for that round, and, calmly tried to explain it to Tori and Cameron when they came back from their battle match, and Cameron came back into the game and said, look, like, I just didn't want to... Basically, I'm not against you, but don't expect me not to try to save myself when my butt's on the line. So I feel like she's done a really good job here. If Jessica is the winner of the season, I'll be very pleased. I will love it. She's playing great.
And I'll give Thomas credit. A little cringy in the confessionals, but very gracious in defeat. And Jayla, I think also is pretty calm, I don't want to say calm necessarily, but handles things well.
She's
sassy, but she's not emotionally volatile.
Yeah, exactly. Jayla is nowhere near as volatile as I am. I would respond very polarizing in terms of my responses to various things throughout reality TV and the game and the way people treat me and anything that happens. But Jayla is pretty level. She's pretty level key. So I enjoy her work that she does here. And the one other thing that I feel like we should talk about is Hunter and the fact that he has Dustin's vote this round, because once Dustin realizes that Hunter has his vote and Hunter's really pissed at him, like, the chain of events goes like this. Hunter gets pissed at them. Hunter gets specifically pissed at Dustin. Dustin in talking to Hunter, then Hunter blurts out, well, I have your vote. I can do whatever I want. I can make sure you're up there for the battle match selections. And then Dustin realizes that, oh, shit, that's a problem. And then spends the rest of the episode trying to make Hunter feel better and ultimately doesn't. Again, I don't really understand, like, why don't you just be a little bit more honest with him? It seemed like he was going out of his way to be extra cagey about things when he didn't need to.
I feel like he actually had a plan, and the plan was to convince Hunter that the votes were going on him, because what Hunter told him was, I'm going to vote for myself and then pick you, because Hunter was under the assumption that because he was shut out from the room, that they were going to vote to eliminate him. Right. And so Dustin was trying to subtly be like, yes, we are voting for you.
So that way, when you vote for him, yes.
That way, Dustin's vote falls on Hunter. Jayla's the one that's eliminated, and Dustin is safe. Unfortunately for Dustin, Tori's going to kind of botch that one by inadvertently revealing that it is Jayla. And that's why when Dustin comes with Tori, he's like, oh, you said it wasn't him? Like, oh, I was trying to convince him it was him.
Yeah, exactly. So the best laid plans could have been something. It would have been interesting to see that happen, I will say that. Also, they're eavesdropping at the door. Both Erica, Jayla, and I think Hunter all took turns eavesdropping at this door. So what do you know? It's you're going to have to be a little bit sneakier than that. And they do eventually come up with a plan here to vote Jayla out. And I think the only other thing that was pertinent here was that Thomas was actually in control of his own vote. He was the only person who drew his own name and therefore had full control of everything going on, which is where I come to here, because I actually do have a little bit of a problem with the way he specifically played this round. I will say this, when he was ultimately eliminated at the end of this episode and loses the battle match, I was absolutely stunned. I really thought for sure that Thomas was the winner of the game. I really, truly thought he was the winner. I thought that Audrey was having fun with the editing, like, you know, talking about her winner being a possible rat. But in the end, he was just a rat because he got eliminated here in the battle match. But he wouldn't have to have been, because he had his own vote. He could have controlled who he voted for. He could have thrown his vote onto anybody and made sure he was safe during this round. And I guess maybe he just wanted to show his alliance that he can be trusted. And I realize in previous episodes, I've talked about the fact that sometimes you just have to take your medicine and vote for the person you need out of the game. But ultimately, we've talked about this before, that Sequester is a game where you're playing mostly from round to round in terms of trying to make sure you're safe. So just do whatever you can to make sure you're safe and you'll be fine. But he didn't do that here. He knew Jayla was going to get voted off and he still voted for her. And I don't know if you have as big of a problem as I do with it, but I feel like that's where he went wrong.
I don't think I have a huge problem with it, mostly because he can't be sure that they have the votes to eliminate her if he doesn't vote for her. He knows or has a decent idea that the other potential vote is him, which it was. Obviously, they end up way more votes end up going on Jayla than just the five. But assuming that the other four actually voted together on Thomas, then if Thomas throws his vote somewhere else, then they're looking at a potential tie.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, they're looking at it like I feel like you should take the risk and know at the worst case scenario it's going to be a tie. Like worst case,
it's a tie where he's exposed as having caused it, which is not a good position to be in, right?
Yeah,
like he betrayed his allies, and now there's a tie where he's in jeopardy. I don't see them like going to rocks or whatever to save him after himself in that spot.
He could go to his own alliance and say, look, I'm the only person who has my own name. I might like you guys are all able to hide behind other people.
But some of them had each other and they still went for it because they had to.
Yeah, let's see. Well, Cameron had Erica.
Zach had Cameron, yeah, right?
Zach had Cameron's vote, yes. And Tori had Zach's vote, yeah. So I guess like, some of them, their argument wouldn't have gone far with more than a couple people. But still, I feel like you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
I think if there's ever a situation where you should just vote with your allies, I do think it is this one. I think that he was potentially needed as a number. If he wasn't, he was the other option. It's also, if you look at the field of players left, I think Jayla is potentially threatening. She seems very fit, but at the very least, like most of the people left are still pretty physically capable, I think. And yeah. So if I'm going to face off against anyone, it might as well be Jayla, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that it it almost didn't even land on him, and we'll talk about that. But I do think he was playing the long game here, even as he is chosen. He says, look, I was just being loyal. I respect this. If he had come back, I think it would have looked really good for him. You're probably going to have to win at least one battle match if you want to win the game. This could have been the one for him, but it wasn't. And so that's just going to be it for him.
That's that. Yeah. Very interesting, because like I said, I really thought he was going to be the winner. They were working under the assumption that they have a 5-person majority. Now that majority is gone and they don't have a majority anymore. They only have 4 people. And I'm not even sure exactly about Tori and Cameron's relationship here after Cameron got so sassy with Tori about talking with other people. Like, those other people, Cameron, they might come in handy now, because you're going into a round in date night where you're only going to have like, and I don't know if they're expecting date night. They probably should be, but they're going to have a round where they only have 5 minutes to talk with people, and then that's that. It's like they go on little dates with everybody, and I really don't know if they're going to be able to cobble enough votes together here to make sure they get it done. But Thomas was somebody they were counting on, and now he's gone. And I'm psyched about that, because I feel like it levels the playing field. If Thomas didn't lose here, I feel like it would have been pretty boring for the next couple of weeks. But now I'm interested to see what happens.
I do think date night could work in their favor, these 4 remaining players, because it's very they already know they're working with each other. They already know that they're voting as a block. So all they need is one quick interaction to spread the information. Now, it could still get screwed up and they could change their minds, but it's a lot harder for another side to not only figure out a plan, but just come together in the first place to make a plan, and not knowing whether they can trust each other. So I think that that this might work out for them in the coming round. It really shouldn't, though, because these 4 should recognize that they're in trouble if they don't stick together, that there is no playing both sides anymore.
But you're talking about Jessica, Jayla, Erica, and Hunter?
Right.
Yeah.
It seems like they don't, or at the very least that Jayla doesn't. And certainly, you know, Hunter is, I think, maybe still learning via emotions.
I don't know that they would. It's hard. We talked about this in Big Brother 21. It's very hard to face the fact that you're on the bottom. It's very hard to face that. People do not want to face that. It is striking to me, after all, like, as much reality television as we have watched together, Taryn, how often it is that people end up on the wrong side of the numbers and they delude themselves into thinking, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm still with the majority, until they, you know, quickly get voted out of the game. I don't know if that's what happened at the end here. Let's just go ahead and break it open and talk about it. Jayla, bitch, what the fuck were you thinking?
So seven of the 9 votes land on Jayla with there was an extra.
It's, I guess,
6 votes landed on Jayla. Two went to Thomas, and then Erica went rogue and voted for Jess.
Yeah,
with Jayla's vote. I don't know what Erica was doing.
I don't know what Erica was doing this entire episode, but that's okay. I stand her anyway.
I guess trying to throw away her vote, but it wasn't her that benefited from that. And
Jayla's exactly.
So I don't really understand. But anyway, Jayla is the one that's eliminated. And so now it's time to choose between Dustin, Cameron, Thomas, Erica, Jessica, Zach. Those are the options for Jayla to choose from for the battle match. And so I'm thinking, well, probably not any of her allies, because I kind of just assumed that these 4 were working together, because why wouldn't they be? So she'll probably choose like Cameron, right? You know, someone like Cameron, or maybe even like Dustin. You know, one of those maybe. She says, look, there were some closed doors. And I'm like, here we go. She's anti that group, closing doors. She's going to strike at them. I'm going to close my own door and go for Erica. What?
Bitch, I am so frustrated with you right now. This is where I just, like, as a fan of reality TV, I just literally bang my head against the wall. I'm like, what the hell were you doing here? Like, seriously, if Erica doesn't have that LOS, you make a massive mistake. It is only by the grace of the fact that she had that LOS that you didn't make a potentially game-ending mistake here and choose her for the battle match. Because if you go into a battle match with Erica, again, let's think this out, Jayla, okay? So let's say you pick Erica for the battle match. Let's say you're successful. Let's say you win the battle match and you come back into the game. What do you think is going to happen during the next episode? Do you not realize that everybody just voted for you? The majority, the people that were shutting doors in your face, they all just voted for you. Do you think they're going to just fucking change their mind in the next episode? I'm so frustrated with her here. As you can see, Sequester, Audrey's in the chat. You will all get your answer about why Jayla did it during the next episode. I can tell you that Audrey texted me and said she does give a reason, but it's not going to make you any happier. And in fact, you'll probably just get more annoyed. So I don't care, Jayla, whatever you have to say about why you chose Erica. You shouldn't have chosen Erica. Again, her LOS saved your ass because now you got the chance to actually pick somebody from the majority alliance and actually do something. You could, like, she could effectively take Thomas's place now by challenging him and forcing them to work with her.
I think I disagree that it saved her, because now Erica knows that Jayla tried to screw her over, right? Like,
well, let's see what her response is during the next episode. I don't Jayla prefaced her selection by saying, I guess I'm going to give you guys some good TV and I choose Erica. First of all, any player who ever goes on reality TV and says, I'm going to give somebody good TV, 99.9% of the time they end up giving us the opposite of what we want. They give us bad TV, bad TV. That is not good TV, Jayla, to pick somebody who we're also standing with you, okay? Can you please pick somebody from the group that just voted your ass out? Could you maybe do that? Like, you, even though Erica was standing, you realize that that wasn't actually the person who voted you out. Erica didn't vote you out, Jayla. These people did. Maybe pick one of them. So frustrated with her.
Right. And she knew who Erica controlled, right? Like, she knew that Erica had her own vote. She knows that I'm assuming she was told that she didn't vote for herself. So obviously Erica didn't try to get her out. So that's weird. So my thought process is like, okay, maybe the idea is that she went for Erica because she felt like Erica was the easiest to beat. Maybe there's a case to be made physically that that's the case, even though she just dominated the last battle match she went into. They didn't see that. So maybe she feels like it's the easiest person to beat, easiest choice. But Erica has an LOS. She plays the LOS. Okay. Well, if that's her thought process, surely she's going to go for the next easiest. But that does not appear to be the case to me, because she goes straight to Thomas, who is, I guess, unproven in battle matches. But if she was going for Erica because she felt like she could win physically, I'm not sure that Thomas was the next best choice, because he's probably the most physical, apart from perhaps Zach, in the group of people that she has left to choose from. Why not at least somebody like Dustin, who is, I think, a bit more, comparable in terms of like physicality. Really, at this point, I think the physical stuff is pretty even amongst all of
them.
But still, like, I don't understand why she went from Erica to Thomas. The logic escapes me.
I wish they could just tell us, like Audrey, you're in the chat. Tell me what the damn reason is. Just put it in the chat right now. Can you just tell me why she picked Erica here? Makes no fucking sense whatsoever for her to pick Erica and then go to Thomas. It just makes no sense whatsoever. But it doesn't matter what she meant. She ended up picking Thomas because she was forced to pick somebody else. And she gets to challenge Thomas to a battle match, and she wins the battle match. So now that group of five is now a group of four, and it's going to be far more interesting to watch. I'm curious to see what happens with Jayla here.
And let's not forget also that they all know that Zach has the LOS still, right? Like, it's still common knowledge. It was outed publicly, right?
I don't understand these people. I don't understand why Jayla wouldn't say, Zach, I'm going to challenge you so you can give up that LOS. Like, I mean, Zach's not your friend, Jayla.
He
what
voted for you. He not only did he vote for you with his vote, but he also voted for you with Cameron's vote.
Yeah. So. AD in the chat says Jayla equals Kimberly, who was eliminated during the first episode in terms of battle match picks. Just stupid. I agree. Jayla, love you, girl. Hope you keep on keeping on. But that was a blunder. And thank God for that LOS. Like, thank God she had that LOS. Otherwise, I would have probably been crying in my milk.
Well, so yes, Jayla's gonna face off against Thomas in this matchup, and right away I just feel like Thomas, I feel like he screwed himself at the start of this this match. The goal is to fill, you've got like a little tube, a little plastic tube. You're going to fill it with these little plastic balls, and then transfer the balls via like two more tubes to a bucket at the end of the thing. Yep. And so, they there's like 3 minute time limit, like go. And Jayla, you know, fills it up, starts transferring. Thomas spends like the first 30 seconds to at least like a minute. Something
45
around.
Seconds. Yeah, it was a long time. 45
seconds, like a long time just continuing to stuff the balls or beads or whatever you want to call them into the tube. Just keeps going. I'm like, what are you doing? Because not only is he not like getting a whole lot more in with each shove, but also he has no idea what it's like to transfer yet. Try the transfer before you waste a ton of time filling your pipe with all the beads. And he quickly discovered that he can't transfer that many beads in one go because they'll just fall out the other side. And so he wasted all of that time just filling the thing. You always got to try to get a feel of the competition right away. That's the thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's so many puns here with the pipe and the balls and all that, but I'll leave that to you guys. Like, honestly, this was shocking to me. I thought for sure Jayla was a goner here once I saw this challenge. Good for her in winning. I agree also with your assessment about how he played this battle match in terms of just watching him stand there for the first 45 seconds. I mean, I guess good for him in terms of he didn't get spooked by the fact that Jayla was in front of him and already transferring to the next one, but it really should have set a fire under him. Like, I can't wait too long here because I don't know how it's going to be transferring these balls to the next tube and the next tube and then into the bowl. So good for Jayla, man. That was really psyched.
Yeah. So there it is. Jayla defeats Thomas. I did like that, you know, this felt good to me. Again, Thomas, he took the nomination for battle matchness. He took it well. And then, you know, he went up against Jayla. He loses. He's disappointed. This is how I think, you know, somebody should conduct themselves for the most part here in a game like this, where it honestly felt a little unnatural listening to him talk smack in the confessionals, but like he was trying in the confessionals to be like, but in the game, the actual game, he was treating, you know, just kind of being a reasonable person.
Listen, I have nothing but good things to say about Thomas, having watched his entire body of work here. Now, I don't know ultimately what's going to happen at the end, if he's going to be a bitter juror or whatever, but from what I've seen so far, he was really on track to win. Like I said, I was gobsmacked that he didn't win. I was gobsmacked that he was actually eliminated here. I think he was playing a really, really good game, had himself in a really great spot, and conducted himself as a gentleman when he was selected for the battle match, in terms of the fact that it didn't piss anybody off. His allies got it. The people that were, you know, not with him got it. And they fucking applauded him.
That's how you do it. He set himself up to really like springboard off of that moment had he been the one to come back.
Yep.
And if he's not, then it didn't matter anyway. So yeah, like that's how you do it. You don't burn all of your bridges. Like, oh,
Cameron,
she chose me? Then screw all of you. Good job, Thomas.
I
like the little sort of like dramatic music that played as well, as he sort of like is disappointed. I thought that was
you could tell this meant a lot to him. He was definitely bummed. I think he really could really see the finish line in front of him. You know, they were down to 9 people after this road. They're down to 8 people. You know, you basically just need to get yourself to that final 4 and you really have an opportunity to win. I think he was already thinking about the possibility that he could win the game. I thought he was positioned very well, but you really cannot underestimate the impact of battle match selections during the jury phase of the game. Voting people out means nothing. It means nothing. You're voting people into a battle match. That's all you're doing. And they're going to get to pick somebody to battle against. That's the best you can do once the jury starts. Again, if you want somebody out of the game, get them out pre-jury. Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with them for the long haul here.
Yeah, I don't think that Sequester is the right game to go, okay, there's nine people, we just need five. I think that's the wrong tactic with sequester. And I know it's, yep. I know it's fast paced. I know it's difficult to do otherwise, but the more votes you can get on your target, the better. Because if it's only five against four, assuming that those other four had gotten together, then it would have only been your five that that person could choose from. And if it's a clear divide, then it, they're all, then even if it's not only those five, they're still going to choose from that five. Sequester is a game where you want to, you're really incentivized to go like, the house is doing this.
Yeah.
Hide your group.
Yeah. That was my entire problem with the way that Cameron and company conducted themselves during this entire episode. It looked terrible from a personal point of view, but from a strategic point of view, I just thought she was really marching with two left feet here.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we got here. We're going to head into the next episode, final eight. And I guess it will be date night. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes, it will be date night. And I can tell you now, though, the guest that we have for next week will be none other than the woman who won season two herself. Kim Atina will join us for next week and talking all about date night. That was the one she wanted. She told me like way back when we started and we decided we were going to cover the season, that if she was able to come on, she would like to come on for date night. So that's when we're going to have her on, and I can't wait to talk about it.
All right. We'll see how she feels about Hunter not being her.
Yes, I know, right? He doesn't want to be her. Nobody wants to be you, Kim.
Such a weird thing to say, is like, especially as you're doing the Kim Atina.
I know, right? As you're acting like she did, which of course I have come for you in the past, like when we did our little what is sequester introduction, and we talked about some of the big major moments of season two. Obviously that was a big point where Kim like threw a fit basically and acted like a child and was like letting people have it because they were having conversations that didn't include her, and Hunter just repeated it in this episode, even though he was saying I'm not Kim Atina. He was definitely Kim Atina. Go ahead.
It's a little bit like saying, like, I'm not going to be the Josh Martinez, and then crying after, like, a fight. Like,
yeah.
He won, and then you're like, what? I don't understand. It works. It doesn't work on either level.
Nope.
Because you're doing the bad thing, and you're saying you don't want to be the good thing. Okay, whatever.
Well, by the way, I haven't said much about Tori in this episode, but I did want to give her some props, because even though she is part of the majority alliance, I feel like she still did the best job. Her interactions with Hunter aside, I do feel like that Tori did the best job of trying to empathize with people and act like she was their friend, even though she was clearly not with them. So kudos to her in terms of trying to at least keep everybody friendly-ish with her so that she has other choices to work with should she need it in the coming weeks.
Yeah, there's just something about, like, I think that Tori is like one of the, like, there's something about her that's just not working in the game, and yet she continues on. Granted, she had to win a couple of battle matches to do it, but when I saw her in the conversation with Hunter, I felt like she was doing a good job of calming him down at first. She was doing like, she was like a therapist, right? Something like that.
Yeah, she works with kids, I believe.
I mean, I was just reminded of that, because she was like, it was straight out of a textbook, that she was like letting him have his say. She was repeating back to him how he felt, to try to like affirm that, like, this is how you're feeling. That's bad. Like, I agree with you. And I felt like it was kind of calming him down. But then she just kind of loses it. And they end up mad at each other again. And they both storm, or he storms away, and she's, you know, upset. And now he, like,
she doesn't even try to make it better. She just kind of lets him storm away.
Right. And so I feel like the end result of this is that this sort of like halfway there approach ends up not working in the way that she's intending to, and then at the same time making her stand out as such a big threat, because she can get in your head a little bit, but not enough that she's actually in your head, so you're just scared. And I think that's why a lot of people are so intimidated by her in the game, one of the reasons at least, because she is like, she stands out, but she's not high enough above them that she's able to control them, right? So I think that's what's happening here.
I take your point. The other person that we didn't talk a lot about is Zach, and I don't really know what to say about him other than the fact that it seems like he's gotten himself into a pretty good spot here. Obviously, he had a really great spot alongside Thomas, but I don't know that he can actually win the game unless he has like a big move here. Like, just following along with Tori and Cameron is not going to get you the win. I don't think. So, but then again, I just said that Cameron can't win the game.
He's just gonna, he's just in the final two, he's just gonna pull out his LOS and he's gonna be like, I didn't even need to use this.
I didn't even need to use it, man. What you doing? What you got?
That worked for Tyler.
Yep.
All right, that's what we have for you today for this week's episode. Next week there will be an episode and we will be covering it.
Yep, we're going, there's a dash to the finish here, and I'm excited to have Kim and Tina on the show next week.
All right, so make sure you find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. There's, of course, as we talked about at the start of this podcast, The Circle. It's coming in just yes, 2 days in the new year.
Yeah,
On Netflix.
The first four episodes are dropping, this week on Netflix? And then they drop four more episodes and then four more episodes. So there's 12 episodes in total of the USA version of The Circle. And I am so psyched to watch it and can't wait to potentially talk about it. I don't know if I'm going to be on any Sequester Circle podcast, but if I am, I'll see you then.
Yes, it's a very fun show. There's no Celebrity Big Brother. There's no Winter Big Brother happening. So this is kind of like the replacement for that. It's going to run 3 weeks. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of interesting things about this show that I feel like these shows in general, these competitions, these social strategy shows, I feel like they really are interesting in how power dynamics play out. And I think that The Circle represents that in a new, fresh way that made me think about things from a new perspective. And I'm sure we're going to get into all of that when we talk about The Circle, not to mention it's a fun game and it's an addicting show. So check it out. It's a lot of fun. I will be covering every single episode. And then each week we're going to cover the four episodes that drop each week on a round table with Rob. So should be a lot of fun. We're going to dedicate a lot of time to it. So check that out. And end of the year Big Brother stuff we'll also be doing at some point as soon as we schedule it. So that's what we have going on. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Sequester.